I was here Sunday night. So when you see my text, and you can remain seated tonight, coming from Revelation 3, don't think that I was in a service, Brother Rolls, one time, and a song had been sung through the service, and got quiet, and in that particular church, people just randomly got up and walked up and sang. It was not, there was less structure. One of the ladies got up, she said, "I don't know why, but this song's been on my heart," and she sang the same song over again. She hadn't really been paying attention, evidently, but I was here Sunday night, and I did pay attention, and yet I have this on my heart, and if I covered your prayers tonight, I have struggled last evening and today keeping my breath, and so if I can get through this, then you will know it is God and not me. Revelation 3, and Brother Blue did an outstanding job covering these passages Sunday evening, and I just want to deal with this last one, this last church here in the third chapter, verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works," Jesus says. These are in red letters in your Bible if you have that edition. "Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Heavenly Father, we ask you this evening, God, for your touch, for your anointing to speak to our hearts, to challenge us this evening. "I know thy works." If we skip on ahead a couple of verses here, we will notice that this in verse 19 is a rebuke of sorts. He is rebuking them, but he says, "You're neither cold nor hot." Now, automatically, a lot of times in our minds, and rightly so, we think, when we think of somebody being spiritually cold or spiritually hot, we think of them being on fire or maybe just not really with it spiritually. They're struggling. Interesting here, if you look at this area, Laodicea was located near the Lycus River Valley, and they had become a wealthy city. It was one of the wealthiest commercial interests in their area, and it was primarily known for three things: banking, wool, and medicine. And not surprisingly, maybe some of you know this, ISAV was part of that medicine. It also had a problem. Very wealthy, had these industries, but it didn't have water. And so they had to have underground aqueducts to bring the water in. And once you got used to it, God forbid, you got used to it. And you drank that kind of nasty, lukewarm. We go through a lot of bottled water in our home. And we've got shelves in our garage. In the wintertime, that's great. Works fine. Not so much in the summer. You go grab one of those, and I won't say whether or not it's my kids, but somebody's kids forget to put water back in the fridge when they get them out. And I think it's probably my wife's children. But we have to go in there and restock it all the time. But you get one off that shelf, Brother Brad, it's not that good, especially if you're really, really, really hot. This water was piped in, you might say, and it just wasn't very good. And if you weren't from the area and you grabbed you a big glass of this Laodicean water, you'd probably spit it back out. And so that gives us a little bit of a context, because nearby there was a couple other cities. One of them was known for its hot springs. Now, in our mindset, hot springs, we kind of think of jacuzzis and hot tubs, and you know, we think of that medicinal purpose. Anybody here ever been really sore in the body and you look forward to something nice and warm like a hot tub if you've had one? Years ago, I actually had to put one in for a lady in Brookville. She had a medical condition. She required it. And several people said, "Boy, she's lucky." And I thought, no, not really. You know, she has to have it. She's required by her doctor to be in it every day. But when we're sore, when the body's beat up, we like that. Also, on the counter side of that, when we're exhausted and we've been hot. Michael's not in here, but some of us, maybe some of you other boys have experienced a hay field. That cool drink of water is refreshing. And so Hierapolis was known for its hot springs, Colossia for its cool and refreshing mountain streams. Laodicea did not have either one. They had an unfortunate, you might say, mixture of the two. I'm not saying technically they mixed them in, but that's what they ended up with, was something lukewarm. Thinking about the church, and when we think of it in that aspect, Brother Rolls, we need to be a place of healing. We need to, you know, we think of those, let's start with that cold refreshing. Anybody here ever been, not physically necessarily, but spiritually in need of refreshing? Maybe even tonight. You've been in need of refreshing. You know, as Christians, the church, by the way, is not primarily a place where sinners are to come and get saved. And sometimes we think that's what we're here and we open the doors and we hope people come and get saved. And that's wonderful when it happens. But that's really not what we're here for. We are here so that we can get equipped, so that we can go out to where they're at and win them for Christ. We're here for those times when we, you know, you go through the week and you run into things and you come in here needing refreshed. You need a fresh anointing. You need a fresh touch. You need something. And we get parched in this walk with Christ. We get parched in some of the things that we take. You know, we are facing a time of Christians that are just simply burnt out. They're tired. Our schedules get pretty busy, especially, I was going to say this time of year, pretty much any time of year. There's a lot of activities that go on here. And we can get tired and we can get wore down. And we need to find a place, even sometimes in the midst of the activity, where we can find refreshing. Anybody here? And you know, this is not a comparison. Anybody here exhausted? I don't mean physically. That might be too. Because it's kind of hard. This body is tied. The soul, spirit, flesh, it's all tied together. When one thing gets wore out, it's all wore out. You know, you can't say, you know, I'm physically exhausted, but man, I'm perky and I'm ready to pray. It just doesn't work that way, does it? You get down to pray and you know what happens. But we can become exhausted. And sometimes, unfortunately, Brother Brad, we start comparing. And I gave a lot of thought to that. We said, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and they're not. A few weeks ago, I was out of town on a Sunday. And this is not a complaint. It's just an observation. I wish Michael was in here because he's part of this. A situation happened here in the Sunday morning service and made some people uncomfortable. And for the next 5 hours, I dealt with it. It's five straight hours sitting in Tennessee, text after message after text after call. And Brother Michael finally texted me and he said, man, I wouldn't want your job. My first thought was this, Brother Brad, I don't want yours. I was like, you know, and that's, by the way, that is not a complaint. The point is, God equips each one of us differently. Sister Rebecca, nobody wants me to lead choir. Nobody. I don't want that job. Thank you, Brad, for the support. There are things, and so sometimes we get in the habit, we say, I'm doing so much and I'm doing this. You know what? We're all busy for God. And we all need to be sensitive to our brothers and sisters and watch them and see those signs of exhaustion and be ready to reach out and minister. He said, I know thy works. Are we part of that offering of a refreshing, if I can say it that way, cold drink of water in a hard, exhausting time for someone? Are we there to reach out and strengthen and help someone? You know, we've got the Connect Kids. We've got the Children's Church. We've got our Sunday school classes. We've got all these outreaches that we do. We've got our services. We've mentioned the choirs. We're busy. And sometimes we must have a refreshing. But you know, we also live in a church world where people are hurting. And I don't mean the world out there. Yes, they're in desperate need. They are. But there are people right here, even in this service, there are people in our fellowship, a Christian fellowship, that are hurting. And they need that, if I can use that illustration of those warm springs, they need that time of healing. Church, we have people sitting in our pews that may be that close to walking out the door for the last time because of the hurt. Sometimes it's the hurt of a relationship. It's the hurt of a situation in their life. It could be a financial wound. Could be a battle wound. We're fighting a battle. We have an enemy, and he is attacking, and sometimes we just get wore out with that battle. But then there's another avenue of wound, and that is the collateral damage, the friendly fire, they might call it. And I don't want to be guilty, Brother Steve, of being part of that, where because of something of our lack of attention, again, I know thy works, he said. I don't want to be part of wounding or being part of that wound, but I want to be part of that healing process, to be able to offer what someone is needing for that healing. Christ said, if you're lukewarm, if you're not part of these processes, if you're not part of the body of Christ, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'm going to spew you out. Not that he doesn't love us, but it's a disgusting thing. When we are not, you know, it's been mentioned many times. In fact, I was listening to some of the convocation services, and they talk about how empty a life it is to live for yourself. How true that is. You realize when we live for just us, and we're going to look at that here in a minute, because he says, because thou sayest, I am rich. Not necessarily talking about your bank account, although it could be. I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. He said, you don't have a clue. You think you've got it together. You think you've got it under control, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it might be. You think you've got it. He said, you think you're rich. You think you're well off. You think you're, can we replace that word rich for you're comfortable, you're settled. You got it all together. You got what you need. I'm sure if I polled you tonight, no one here would probably raise their hand and say, I'm as rich as I need to be financially. Most of you are probably planning on going to work sometime soon. But so often we act like we are in the way we conduct ourselves in the church, amongst our fellow believers. And he said, you think you have need of nothing, but you don't know how wretched and miserable. You know, we could have assumed that when we were able to finally, quote unquote, destroy God in our society and get rid of him. And that's what a lot of people have attempted to do. We assume that when we've destroyed God, atheism will be what is the new, quote unquote, religion. And yes, that's so untrue. You know what really has taken over our world? Polytheism. Because you're a God, and you're a God, and you're a God, and you're a God, and I'm a God. We serve ourselves. That's what it's talking about here. You think you've got it together. You think you've got it together. We have turned to where we're serving ourselves. We are the God. We are the answer to our needs. And he said, you don't have the answer. You have no clue, but you don't have. In fact, I love this next verse here in verse 18. It said, I counsel thee to buy of thee gold tried in the fire. A few moments ago, I mentioned that there was three industries. The banking industry was one of those. And he said, I challenge you not to take the phony, young people, that thing that's out there that's flashy, that looks attractive. He said, don't chase after the phony, but I'm offering you real gold that's tried in the fire. Something tangible, something that we can take with us, something that will last throughout those dark hours, those troubled hours, those difficult times, a wealth that's laid up, as it says in heaven, that is permanent. It also talked about wool, and he says, gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. You know, we live in a world that is just infatuated with status, with position, with titles. And often when you saw, especially in these times, even today, you can see people, you can look at the way they dress and kind of know what they're into, what they're following, maybe where they're at financially, or at least where they want you to think they're at financially. I had a guy years ago pulled into my driveway. He was trying to sell me some service plans for cell phones. And he was out in his BMW in a $2,000 suit selling me a cell phone. And I thought, son, you're living on mama's money because you're not making that selling me this little plan. But he was trying to impress me. He pulled in his fancy car and his fancy suit to let me know he was successful and he was going to sell me a cell phone plan. And that's where we live today. People are chasing after the empty. They're chasing after the feeling. They're chasing after the impression of others. They want that status, if you will. And he said, I'm going to offer you a white raiment, a position in me, a security in me that you can't find anywhere else. And then, of course, I mentioned the eye salve, the medicine, if you will. And, you know, we must have a place here where we can come and find healing. Anointing the eyes with the eye salve that thou may see. We are in a blind society. We're not looking. We're not seeing what's really going on around us. We're being deceived by the media. We're being deceived by we're not political at all tonight. There's deception on every turn. And if we're not careful, you can't even trust photography anymore. I mean, nothing can be known to be real except from what we know from the scriptures. We can see what is coming. I mentioned that in verse 19. He said, as many as I've loved, I rebuke and chasten. You know, what I love about the Lord is that he never rebukes without giving an opportunity to repent. He never gives us a rebuke without an opportunity for repentance. That time of correction. We have all, no doubt, faced a time of rebuke in our lives. Even recently, in a time of prayer, Brother Steve, I felt that on my life, as he was saying, look, you just said this and you read this. Are you living up to it? And we need that. We need that challenge. And we see that, be zealous, he said, and repent. To repent. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit on the throne. I was thinking about this the other day. In fact, Brother Micah took a book out of here Sunday evening, and I noticed something on the cover of it. Back when I ran on an ambulance, we on the way home, in between the two front seats, there was a little red button they had stuck on there. And you've all seen it, but it didn't matter how difficult or what the situation we had faced or what we'd had to deal with. Once we had got him into the hospital and we had transferred that care to someone else, we get everything cleaned up, write our reports, and sit down, and somebody to reach over and hit the little button. And you know what that button was? That was easy. There's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there. Sometimes when you're in those fields, you get a little, some people would think lack of sensitivity. But it was just a way to deal with it. No matter how bad it was, you just say, oh, that was easy. Got through that. That was easy. And that book that Brother Micah had the other night, it says something that I actually much prefer. And life isn't, by the way, very easy. The things that we face in our walk with Christ, or if we're not walking with Christ, by the way, It's not easy. But we have an instruction here that is simple. That's the line on the front of that book. It's something I've heard 1,000 times in recent trainings. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. And I'd like to challenge us with that just a second tonight. We have been given a plan. We have been given an opportunity in Christ, and it is simple. Just trust in Him. It's simple. Just follow Him. It's simple, but it's not easy. It takes effort. Music, would you come tonight? In my thought on that simple but not easy, the last verse says, "He that hath an ear." In fact, I kind of wrestled with that because I thought initially I would just use that first phrase, "I know that works," and I did. But as I was praying, I thought, you know, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." It's simple, but it's not easy. And tonight, if we could all stand, that is my simple altar call. He or she that hath an ear, come and hear what the Spirit would say to you.
Fill my cup, Lord, I live.